Some big technology companies are suddenly losing business to encrypted upstart competition. I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. We do have grim news to start with on the job front. People signing up for unemployment benefits after fresh layoffs came in today at 965,000 for the last week, much higher than the average in recent weeks. And when you don't include seasonal adjustments, it was more than a million. Let's go right to one of America's most sought-after economic analysts, Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Hi there.
Good morning.
This is way higher than expected. What's going on?
You know, it's a gut punch. We got more than a million people, 1.1 million people, almost 1.2 million in initial claims in 38 states in the country. And we also saw the special pandemic claims also pick up by a dramatic amount. When you put them together, you get 1.4 million claims or more. Really stunning to see these numbers. And some of it is a catch-up after the holidays and the delays to signing the aid package, so people didn't know if they could apply for aid retroactively or not. But the reality is just really hard. We already lost jobs in the month of December, and we're likely to lose them again in the month of January. Every region in the country is now seeing cases surge, and that's prompting more state and local governments to either take on more containment measures because hospitals and morgues are literally being overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, it brings special context to President-elect Joe Biden's speech expected later today on his plans for new economic stimulus to help get people back on their feet.
Yes, we're likely to see trillions in that number. That's aspirational. I don't think we'll get that much, but we do need more from where we're at, from the $900 billion in aid bill that was already passed. It did not have funding for state and local governments, even to upgrade their dilapidated unemployment insurance systems, which is really important at this stage of the game, and to help weather any future storms. We need to not only recoup what we've lost to COVID and get back, it'll be 2 years by the fourth quarter of losses that we've endured. If we get back up to the previous peak in overall GDP, employment could take another year out. And that's not even recouping what could have been.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. She's speaking from Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just reviewing her point there, it's been almost a year of dealing with pandemics so far, and if full recovery has happened by the end of this year or early next, it will have been nearly 2 years of this COVID pain. Delta Airlines is sticking by its prediction that it will return to break even by this spring. It said today it lost $755 million last quarter. The stock is up 3.5% now. Act out on a plane between now and the end of March, and there's no counseling, no bargaining, or second chances. The FAA has put in force a new rule that if a passenger gets unruly, authorities will go straight to enforcement. That could include a $30,000 fine. Federal prosecutors can seek up to 20 years in jail for onboard disturbances. Airlines have been reporting a surge in people being jerks or acting dangerously in recent weeks. How did economies do throughout pandemic 2020, year as a whole? Well, Germany today was the first big advanced economy to report the full year calculation. In 2020, the German economy did not grow but contracted by 5% after a flat fourth quarter. The UK and France may have contracted at twice that rate. That's the estimate. And staying with Germany, where there's also an outgoing government, but not till the fall, Stefan Richter is publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist. He joins us from Berlin. Hi there, Stefan.
Hi, David.
You see what? A bit of a pattern with leaders in Germany during the transition times?
Yes, unfortunately, German leaders, now Angela Merkel, who's exiting at the end of the year, and earlier her predecessor in 2005, Gerhard Schröder, the Social Democrat, both are having a habit of doing things untoward and unfriendly in the context of the transatlantic relationship. What Merkel did specifically is that she rushed through this comprehensive agreement on investment with China in the last few days of the year with the EU. And the problem with that really is that Joe Biden and his team team had really asked her to wait so that a consolidated Western position on how to deal in commerce with China had been developed. And so it seems that the woman who has always talked very big about being such a great friend of the United States really rebuffed him, and that is going to hurt not just the transatlantic relationship, but also Western relations with China.
Now, there will be some overlap between, you know, Joe Biden as president and Chancellor Merkel will still be in power for a number of months. Maybe they can hash this out.
I think that ship has sailed because the Chinese are incredibly able diplomats. They have basically split the Europeans and the Americans. The Europeans have committed to a Chinese view of easy commitments that are just mere words. And that can be seen that no sooner did the Chinese get the deal they wanted from Mrs. Merkel, that Xi Jinping repaid her that favor by arresting a lot of the pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong.
But there's some sense in if Germany is doing a little Bruderschaft trinken with Beijing here. I mean, German industry would like to sell cars in China and make cars in China, and friendly relations might help that.
Yes, but what's the point, strategic point, of serving the German car industry? I mean, after all, she's not just the head of the German Car Industry Association or Exporters Association. Number two, it is highly doubtful that while Germans sell a lot of cars by volume in China, that there are profits going along with it. You can't really repatriate the profits from China very well. So it is really bewildering what she's been doing.
Stefan Richter, publisher and editor-in-chief of The Globalist, speaking from Berlin. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
If you haven't heard of two apps, one called Signal, the other is Telegram, you just have. We need to tell you that people by the millions have been flocking to these messaging services over the last week or so. Marketplace's Nova Safo is linked in here. Nova, what's the attraction with these?
So these are encrypted messaging apps which promise to keep what people say private. WhatsApp is actually the global behemoth in this space, boasting some 2 billion users. But now, as you mentioned, we're seeing tens of millions downloading rival apps, Signal and Telegram.
All right, but why such a surge into them now?
Well, one big reason appears to be Facebook itself. It owns WhatsApp, and it may have shot itself in the foot, David. It put out an updated privacy policy last week that worried many WhatsApp users. They were concerned that some of the data they thought was private was now going to be shared with third parties. Facebook clarified that people's chats on WhatsApp will still be secure, but the damage appears done. Signal saw a 61-fold increase in downloads last week. Telegram saw its downloads double.
Why are those two apps the alternatives of choice?
Well, part of this is Elon Musk, if you can believe it. He put out a two-word tweet last week, "Use Signal." That's all he said, but it appears to have been enough. Hours later, Signal said it was getting overwhelmed with new users. Now, why Signal? Well, its whole brand is about secure end-to-end communication. It's also run by a nonprofit. Meanwhile, Telegram has some encryption too, and also has invite-only chat groups, which are a draw for users. And a word about those users, David. A lot of them appear to be coming from other countries where people might be more wary of government surveillance. But some experts are worried that far-right extremists in the U.S. are adopting these platforms too, taking their communications underground.
Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you much. Will happen throughout the day on our money markets, workplace culture, and innovation beats. We may have more on the Joe Biden stimulus package set for later today. Listen for my colleague Kai Rizdal, host of Marketplace on many public radio stations or streaming at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.